A Teaspoon of Neutron Star by Lovyan, read by Library Chick 94 for Pod Together 2019. Fandom, Hawaii 50 2010. Relationship, Steve McGarrett, Danny Dano Williams. Rating, teen and up. Summary. If it were anyone else here with him, he'd tell them to go away. Steve, though, they've seen each other at their worst already. Danny doesn't have to put on his strong face for Steve, doesn't have to perform. Danny has a depressive episode. Steve does what he can to help him through it. After the fourth long and harrowing case in a row, Danny doesn't get up for work. He should probably send a text, he thinks, staring blindly at the wall, a dull gray in the half hour before sunrise. He blinks. Closing his eyes feels nice, so he does it again. And again. Seconds pass. Maybe minutes. He's gonna send a text. A car passes outside, there and gone. His face twists at the sound of it. The reminder of people going about their lives while Danny lies in bed, too tired to even try to think about maybe getting up. He's gonna send that text now. Gonna reach for his phone and squint against the too bright display and navigate to the right app and... ugh. The darkness behind his eyelids is more appealing, so he lets himself sink into it for a while. It's warm under the sheets. He's warm. Heavy. His thoughts come strangely slow and sluggish, like his brain got stuck in wet cement. He breathes, and his chest feels tight. Constricted. Hollow, too, and isn't that weird? That he could feel so empty and yet so... compressed? And his toes are tingling. Do they always do that? Was there something he meant to do? Does he care? He opens his eyes again. The wall has grown light and continues to grow lighter, a softly golden white broken up by the shadow of the blinds. He watches, without interest, as the lines become sharper, more defined. His phone buzzes. He flicks his gaze to the nightstand, sees the screen lit up. He could answer it. All he'd have to do is reach out and pick it up. He'd have to move his arm to do that, though. Lift it, even. And the thought of talking to someone, anyone, of gathering thoughts and putting them to words, and listening to a reply, and come up with yet more words. He lets his eyes slip shut, finds a haven in the fuzzy darkness of his mind. He sleeps. The sound of the front door unlocking nudges him out of an uneasy doze. He blinks blearily at the wall, listens to familiar footsteps as they make their way to the bedroom. Thinks about turning his head toward the door. Doesn't. The footsteps pause in the doorway. A soft sigh, barely audible. More steps. A hand on his shoulder as Steve crouches down in his line of sight. "What do you need?" he asks, voice not much louder than his sigh. "Nothing," Danny thinks. "But that's not quite right, is it?" "He wants nothing. What he needs is..." He takes a breath. Another one, makes the effort of opening his mouth because Steve has come all the way over here. He deserves at least a reply. "Quiet," he mumbles. Maybe the word will convey his meaning. He doesn't think he could elaborate it if it doesn't. He's made the effort, now he's spent, emptied, a shell. He's got nothing left to give. Steve squeezes Danny's shoulder and stands up, walking away. Danny listens, indifferent. The soft clink of glass in the kitchen, a cupboard closing, the tap. Silence. Footsteps. Steve returns with a glass of water, holding it out to Danny. Danny twitches his head, no. Steve doesn't move. Danny sighs, heaves the impossible weight of himself into a half-sitting position, and lets Steve press the glass into his hand. He drinks a few sips, and then, at Steve's unimpressed stare, a few more. When the glass is half empty, Steve lets him put it down on the nightstand and sink back into the cushion. Danny closes his eyes. A rustle of clothes. The mattress dips beside him as Steve sits down. Eyes still shut, Danny shifts and presses his face into Steve's thigh. If there were anyone else here with him, he'd tell them to go away. Steve, though. They've seen each other at their worst already. Danny doesn't have to put on his strong face for Steve. Doesn't have to perform. He can just breathe and be and let himself sink back into uncaring darkness. Hunger comes and goes as he drifts. A tight, almost pain in his stomach that exists on the periphery of Danny's erratic attention every time it shows up. He examines the feeling, judges it irrelevant, dismisses it. His whole body feels boneless, yet he aches, muscles so tight they might be wrought from stone. The smell of his back is the worst offender, followed closely by his shoulders. The smell of his back has Steve's hand, though, rubbing warmth into the spaces where the worst of the tension lives. "Hanging in there, buddy," Steve murmurs, the motion of his hand as regular as the ticking of a clock. Danny sighs, neither confirming nor denying. It's all the answer he can give. In the late afternoon, Steve coaxes him into the kitchen. He does this by gently shaking Danny until Danny pulls half a grimace and shuffles out from under the sheets. He's in his boxers and a t-shirt, feet bare as he allows Steve to pull him up, to nudge him away from the bed. Steve makes sandwiches. Danny eats a few bites, chewing and chewing and chewing, the bread like soggy sawdust in his mouth. He drops the sandwich back onto the plate, drinks the water Steve has put in front of him. All of it, to make up for the sandwich. Steve still looks disappointed. Instead of letting Danny scuffle back into the bedroom, Steve guides him outside into the small green space behind the house. The light is too bright, the sunshine alien on Danny's skin. He squints, thinks about resisting the gentle pressure of Steve's hand on his back, gives up the fight before he started it. A hammock hangs between two of the trees, looking as limp as Danny feels. Steve put it up after the second or third of Danny's quiet phases, arguing that sunshine might help him feel better. Danny had put up more of a fight then, turning it into several days of sniping. If all he needed was the sun, he'd never feel like this at all. Not in this light-drenched place with its placid people and its cheerful tourists and its crimes that all seemed to take place outdoors. But Steve had remained stubborn and the hammock had stayed up, and now he manhandles Danny into it before clambering in himself. Danny ends up with his head on Steve's shoulder, and glad that the exertion is over, sinks back into motionless lethargy. Out here is different from this bedroom, though. Not better. Probably not worse, either. But instead of laundry detergent and not much else, now a whole plethora of scents come with each disinterested breath. Resin, something floral, the dusty smell of earth, something green, like torn leaves from his neighbor's garden. Steve, salt and skin and a different detergent than Danny's. They lie pressed together, head to toe, one of the pocket flaps of Steve's stupid cargo scratching against the bare skin of Danny's thigh. The long line of his body is too hot for comfort, not hot enough to move away. Danny closes his eyes and drifts, not sleeping so much as dozing, listening to the birds, the rustle of leaves overhead, the odd car passing by on the street out front. Steve's breath, deep and even, the slow ba-dump of his heartbeat under Danny's ear. They're back inside by nightfall, though still not back in the bedroom. Instead, Steve's made himself comfortable on Danny's couch, with Danny stretched out in the remaining space, head on Steve's thigh. The TV's on, showing some sort of buddy cop comedy that usually makes Danny laugh. Tonight, he just watches, scenes passing by without causing any particular emotional investment. Everything's flat, even the part where the one cop disappears and his partner tears through the town trying to find him to bring him home. Danny watches, for once not bothered by all the things that on every other day hit a little too close to home. Steve's hand is on his back again, huge and heavy, like some kind of anchor weighing him down. The notion is almost funny. Danny already feels heavy. His limbs, his blood, his very bones, all denser than the heart of a dying star. a tightly packed ball of neutrons, immovable, uncaring. "You're scaring me," Steve confesses in the direction of the TV. His voice so low, Danny almost doesn't hear him. Danny thinks about reassuring him. Thinks about it, and then doesn't. He has no certainties to give right now, nothing but the airless void around him as he waits to see if this is the time he'll collapse into a black hole. "I love you," Steve says. His fingers tighten on Danny's back like they want to hold on but don't quite dare. And it's sad. It's so sad. Because there's nothing lovable about Danny when he's like this. Nothing to hang one's hopes on, nothing to bring forth those moments of quiet joy that are so essential to being in love. Loving Danny when he's like this brings none of the rewards, all of the pain, and he can't even say it back, because right now it would be a lie, and Steve would know it. Right now, all Danny feels is deepest, endless nothing. And he can't even care about that. He doesn't quite nod off. He isn't tired, just exhausted. Sometime during the night, Steve turns off the TV, twists to get the blanket off the back of the couch, and spreads it over Danny. Settles again, still sitting up, fingers twitching, then stilling where they rest on Danny's back. Danny lies there, listening to Steve's breath as it slows down. He knows without looking that Steve's head will be tilted awkwardly, inviting the world's worst crick to his neck. Steve's breaths have a slight wheeze to them, gradually turning into quiet snores. The standby light from the TV is a fixed point in the darkness, something to catch Danny's unfocused gaze. Steve keeps breathing. Silently, inexplicably, Danny finds himself crying. Tears dripping down his cheeks to soak into the leg of Steve's cargo pants. He cries, and he doesn't know why. He's not even sad, not really. There's simply this deep, not quite aching well inside of him that suddenly chose to overflow. And so he keeps lying there, listening to Steve's soft sleep sounds, and not making a noise of his own as he lets the tears keep falling. Eons later, he drags himself to the bathroom. He leaves Steve asleep on the couch, blanket crumpled up beside him. He does his business and mechanically washes his hands. Then he just stands there, thoughts meandering for God knows how long, before he finally leans down and drinks more water, straight from the tap. Only because Steve would want him to. Then he goes to bed. It only takes Steve a few minutes to follow, his movements uncharacteristically sluggish. But then Steve doesn't have to perform either. "Okay?" he asks, voice scratchy, crawling under the sheets to curl around Danny as if to protect him from his own dark thoughts. Danny exhales, long and slow, and lets his body sag against Steve's. It's all the agreement he can muster. Steve's hold tightens, hand finding Danny so his thumb can brush aimless patterns across Danny's knuckles. They sleep. On the second day, all Danny manages is to brush his teeth. Same on the third. On the fourth day, he makes himself finish the lunch Steve puts before him and pretends not to notice how Steve has to blink a few times before his eyes lose their damp sheen. On the fifth day, Danny gets up and walks straight into the shower, dropping his sleep clothes between the door and the tub. He shampoos his hair twice, washes day-old sweat off his skin, and feels all the better for it. His limbs are still heavy, movements sluggish, but he still manages to gel his hair into submission. He looks at himself, unshaven, pale, but no longer quite so dull-eyed. Good enough. He returns to the bedroom to find the windows open, fresh sheets on the bed. His smile is a tiny thing, half rueful, half fond, but it's there. He walks over to the closet, pulls out clean underwear, a shirt, a pair of slacks. Thinks about socks, can't be bothered. Still barefoot, he makes his way into the kitchen. Steve is leaning against the stove, wearing a black t-shirt and a pair of jeans. He's scrolling through his phone with exaggerated concentration as the coffee maker percolates a little off to the side. Two mugs are sitting out in front of it, waiting to be filled. "Pancakes?" Danny asks, already shuffling to the cupboard to pull down the flour. He doesn't have any bananas, so chocolate chips will have to do. Sure, Steve says, gaze glued to his phone. Danny makes pancakes. They eat. It's exhausting. Want me to do the washing up? Steve offers. Not gonna stop you, babe, Danny says. It's the longest sentence he's strung together in days, and Steve stands and turns away from him rather abruptly, hiding his expression. Danny watches as Steve fills the sink with water. He's as scruffy as Danny, worse even, wearing the spare clothes he keeps in the trunk of Danny's car because he wouldn't leave Danny long enough to drive home and get changed. His shoulders are tense as he scrubs the cutlery, the plates, the coffee mugs. Every single time, he does this. Barring the governor herself demanding his presence on a case, Steve will show up, though once or twice a year Danny finds himself too exhausted to even think. He'll practically move into Danny's house. He'll keep Danny watered and fed as best he can and refuse to budge until the episode is over. Then they'll both pretend it never happened, and the months will pass. Nothing acknowledged, nothing changed, until the next time. At the sink, water sloshes. The pan apparently merits such thorough cleaning that Danny starts to fear for the nonstick coating. Hey, Danny says, his voice coming out softer than he means it to. Steve stills. Come here for a second. For a long moment, Steve doesn't move. Danny hears him take a deep breath before he turns around and walks the few steps to Danny's chair. His face is carefully blank, his seal on a mission face. His this hurts too much so I'll pretend it doesn't face. What? Steve asks, clipped, almost annoyed if Danny didn't know him better. Danny rolls his eyes. Come here, he repeats with more emphasis, motioning towards himself. The blank expression melts into one of confusion as Steve looks down to where he's standing almost between Danny's legs, and then back to Danny's face. I am here, he says, clearly not getting it. So Danny reaches up, catches the hem of Steve's short sleeve with his fingers, and pulls. Steve's puzzled face clears about halfway through his forward motion, and then they're kissing. It's so much easier than Danny's ever let himself imagine. The earth fails to shake, the sky fails to fall. It's just them, lips brushing, tongues dipping carefully into mouths, tasting, learning, just one more connection among the myriad they already share. Just them. Just love. They're both a little breathless when they pull apart, Steve grinning like the goof he is. I can take out the trash, too, he offers, like the dishes are why Danny kissed him. Danny knows his own smile is still tired, that there will be other days when he's so numb that breathing seems like too much effort, when this thing he feels will be a pale glimmer in the darkness, if it shines through at all. He also knows that Steve will be there to prop him up when he can't move, drag him to yet another therapist for yet another set of meds, just like Danny will be there to slow Steve down and remind him that people love him when Steve's too lost inside one of his self-imposed missions. On those heavy, careening days, at least they'll have each other. Maybe later, he says, and leans up for another kiss, quietly joyful, almost ready to face the day. The end. The written work can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/19896532.